our industry is struggling. But at the core, what we are doing is effectively enabling economic activity. So whether you're paying for fuel or paying for payroll or paying for any other B2B invoices, ultimately, the financial infrastructure layer should be reliable and so fast.
Welcome to the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast, powered by Gusto. On this show, we explore the intersection of fintech, vertical SaaS, and how software combats the rising complexity of running a business. Our goal is to share stories, advice, and best practices from the leaders and investors behind today's cutting-edge platforms. This episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast is brought to you by Gusto Embedded. Gusto has spent a decade building and testing its payroll, tax filing, and compliance infrastructure, which is available as a robust set of APIs so you can develop custom-tailored payroll solutions. For more information, go to embedded.gusto.com. Here's your host, Brian Bush.
Welcome to the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast. My guest today is Vignan Valivella, the co-founder and CEO of A2B, a unified point of sale and payments platform powering some leading companies in trucking and logistics like Uber and many more. Vignan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate the time today, Brian, and looking forward to our conversation.
Likewise, I'm excited to get into this one. But first, let's anchor the audience just a little bit with your background. You have a wide-ranging set of experiences from self-driving cars and technology with Cruise, satellites with NASA. So give us the quick journey of how did you come to, or what happened before you ended up launching A2B?
Yeah, more than happy to. So maybe I can go to the very beginnings and start it from my childhood. So I grew up in India and originally in a small town and, you know, had public school education, had a ton of fun learning from mostly books, and a small town was quite small. And outside of schools, and there's not much activity. So I had a lot of fun learning from encyclopedias and books, which effectively expanded my worldview of how things work. And so I consider myself an engineer at heart. Part of my training is in engineering and other topics. And early on, I've tried to look at things around the infrastructure layer. My dad used to work for a utilities company and he recently retired. And so I was always fascinated by the silent infrastructure that runs the world. So whether it is electricity, water that's just always available, or things like transportation and logistics. And I started a payments company in India and we were working in the digital microfinance space. And after that chapter, I moved to the US and started learning about electric vehicles and autonomous vehicles. So effectively, I was doing a grad school program in robotics, and that's how I got involved in some of the planetary rover work that was sponsored by NASA, and also worked at Cruise Automation, which is a San Francisco-based self-driving car company. And yeah, I had a ton of fun learning about these rather varied, diverse topics. And all of them effectively got culminated into what I'm today building with my team at A2B, which is both a payments company and a transportation company. And we are working at the intersection of the transportation logistics industry, working at the interface of energy and payments. So that's the brief background personally and how they say connect the dots looking back. So
one more. I love the way you describe that idea of the silent infrastructure that I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I'm hearing is that is often taken for granted or is a little overlooked by many folks in society. So let's dive into A2B. Talk just a little bit more about what the platform is and especially where you feel like you're different compared to either the status quo or other folks in the market.
The thing that fascinates me about the trucking industry in the US and broadly most OECD countries is that it is primarily run by small businesses. And so if you look at US trucking, it's practically a G20 country. So I keep joking that US trucking should be part of the G20, given the economic size. It's almost $1 trillion in, you know, transactions and payments happening in trucking. Similarly, it employs between 5 to 10 million people. And if you expand to broader commercial logistics, it's maybe close to tens of millions of people who are employed in trucking. And also the scale of the infrastructure. So during COVID, you may remember this, but there are only two, three industries that really haven't stopped. One was healthcare and the other was trucking. And that really shows how critical trucking was, because even during the pandemic years, trucking was on the front lines, bringing us food and essential supplies. And we never had much shortages or any severe shortages because of the resilience of the industry. And this is a industry that's, as with most legacy industries like steel, coal, power, or other large industries, there are a lot of opportunity for us to improve the operations of these businesses, which are, as I said, primarily small businesses. So we are actively helping these small businesses grow and become more profitable. So for an end customer, who we are serving is a small business trucking company based out of, let's say, rural Georgia or Nebraska, who do not have access to digital payment tools and financial services like a regular small business would if they were in a city. So there is no Stripe or Square equivalent in trucking yet. And the opportunity we saw is that we can effectively build a very reliable and a modern payments and financial service layer, thereby enabling more jobs and create more growth for these small businesses. So that was the North Star or the compass of what we are doing and intend to do for the coming years and decades. And we can go into any level of depth here, but effectively, that's the key plan that A2B has set on.
So let's double click just one layer deeper, perhaps. And maybe let's take it as, hey, if I am that trucking company, or I am that small business you mentioned out of rural Georgia, what did my, if say transporting a load from point A to point B, what did that look like previously, say maybe a decade ago or even longer? Kind of what was the status quo? And then what does it look like today if somebody is using A to B?
Yes, happy to. So effectively, trucking as an industry runs on a parallel card network and a parallel banking system. So Visa and MasterCard, for example, are the primary card networks consumers like us use. So if you're buying groceries or buying a flight ticket, you just use your credit card and it just works. Unfortunately, given the very specialized nature of trucking operations, it had to develop its own legacy closed-loop card networks, and they were as old as Visa. So they were built sometime in the 1960s or 70s. So with legacy infrastructure comes increasing problems with high cost of transaction and also fraud and other problems that small businesses today have. That's one of the key things we are first solving, which is how do you make payments and spending a lot more financially and operationally modern so that everything is digital, you don't need paper checks, and you'll be surprised, but truck driving as a profession does not have like a modern payroll provider. So people still use Excel sheets and paper checks to pay their drivers. And mind you, this is a profession that's very popular in the US. Like one of my favorite statistics about trucking is that as per census data, in almost 29 or 30 states, truck driving is the number one profession for individuals. So even states as big as California and Texas and others like them, effectively, they all have large portions of their population who are relying on trucking as an industry. And this is one industry where the small businesses are still getting paid on paper invoices or checks. The drivers and the employees of these businesses also are running on such legacy systems. So what that does is it reduces the margins of these operating margins of these businesses, has increasingly high working capital costs. And that leads to effectively, these are the detriments for small business growth. And on an average, a small business in trucking is paying a 30% APR interest rate for their working capital. Yeah, that's just ridiculous given how much working capital is required to run a trucking company. And it's almost like somebody has basically taken a credit card debt to run a business and that eats into their margins. And one of the reasons this is happening is because modern fintech and generally technology companies have not entered trucking industry. So the improvements we see in, let's say, mainstream retail or hospitality industry with technology has not yet touched trucking. So that's the opportunity for A2B. So going back to my original point, we are building the Stripe or Square equivalent for trucking. I use that comparable because if you look at what Stripe and Square as companies have done, Square, for example, has built a modern point of sale system so that small businesses, let's say coffee shops or small retail stores, can get paid digitally and accept credit cards or other forms of payments, and also use the same Square platform to pay their employees, pay for working capital, effectively pay for inventory, all through a single all-in-one system. And Stripe has also evolved to effectively do something similar in the online e-commerce world, where, let's say, you are a small business on Shopify's platform, you're getting paid through Stripe. You are a driver working for Lyft or other companies, you're getting paid through Stripe. I think fundamentally that kind of access to finance and access to payment instruments has really created a lot of positive flywheel effect, where more jobs are created given the ease of financial operation, more funds are flowing through these pipes. And I think that's the key flywheel we are building for small businesses in trucking. And so we are partnering with major freight brokerages and other marketplaces who interact with small business trucking companies. An example of them is Uber Freight, which is a large digitally first freight brokerage. They're like a top five brokerage. We are their key fintech partner. So we are handling their payments and effectively are helping small businesses who are on those marketplaces get paid faster, pay for fuel, and get all sorts of savings on these types of expenses. And this is a key part of wealth creation, because if you are able to help a small business either save on fuel or get paid faster, you're reducing their working capital cost and also reducing their operating cost, and they can reinvest in their growth. And that's a key enabler that we are building for them.
And I love how you keep bringing it back to the mission. That's one area where, from a Gusto standpoint, I think we really resonate. But I want to make sure, I feel like I heard three key areas or three key pain points that I want to make sure I understand and the audience understands. And so first, actually, the last one you mentioned around the freight brokerage is, previously, a trucking company would get paid with a paper check. So what you're, and that obviously created a big cash gap for them, just given the time lag to cash the check. So what I hear is with the freight brokerages, there's a, hey, get revenue in the door faster benefit of working with the new infrastructure and the interface that you're providing. Two, as we hit, you discussed before we hit record, but fuel costs are easily the largest expense for a trucking company. I think you said something on the order of a third to a half at times of the cost of shipping a load. And so given that's just such a high cost, you're bringing efficiencies to how a trucking company actually pays for that fuel. And that's bringing down some of the operating costs, things like that. And then three, as I think you touched on, some of these trucking companies, they do have employees. They have multiple rigs, so to speak. They have to pay their own employees. But that's where you mentioned that there's not a trucking-specific sort of payroll product in the U.S. to date. So great. So I got those three. And you can see how, hey, getting paid by customers, paying for key costs, both through people and in this case, the fuel, like it's almost as if the cash flow for these businesses is the operations. And in some, obviously I'm being a little hyperbolic there, but, and you all are touching all three of those pain points, correct?
Yes, we are. Taking a step back, one of the reasons we are doing that is, as you have rightly mentioned, between fuel and payroll, roughly 65 to 70% of the operating cost of a trucking company is covered. And unfortunately, with these legacy fleet cards or fuel cards that the industry has, the level of fraud and misuse in the cards is significantly higher than what you would see with a business charge card. And the reason we started with that product first is trucking as an industry, for them, 30 to 40% of their cost is just fuel. And there are not any modern tools to track this and also potentially help with savings. And as an industry, let's say trucking has been working on legacy fuel cards for 50, 60 years, and the companies who are operating in the space are not modern technology companies. These are like decades old legacy businesses that haven't built modern infrastructure. So it's almost as outdated as some of the airline booking infrastructure. And so if you see COBOL code bases and IBM mainframes that are running this industry, you don't necessarily see this in most other modern companies. And that is the root cause of the symptoms, which are higher prices of transaction, higher fraud rates, and the root cause of legacy infrastructure is what we are eliminating and building with a clean slate. So our approach has been, to start with the most important cost that a small business trucking company is taking. So start with the fuel cards, build the most modern and highest cost saving fuel card in the market. So that was step one. So we did that over the last few years and spent a lot of money and resources into building a fundamentally better infrastructure for fuel payments. Once we have done that and have signed up all the national merchants and have built this robust universal card network, we have added all the key partners who are supplying us with the trucking companies. Uber Freight as a key partner is effectively has tens of thousands of trucking companies who they serve, and we become their card partner. And once we have the fuel card in place, the next most important cost is payroll. So drivers getting paid on a weekly or a bi-weekly basis. One of the reasons trucking has a payroll problem is most truck drivers in the US are paid on a mileage rate. So, and this is distinct from any other industry where either you have an annual salary or an hourly rate. So trucking as an industry mostly doesn't have an hourly rate, except for a few pockets of use cases. Most of the drivers are paid on number of miles they drive on a daily basis. Average truck driver is probably spending an iPhone's worth of fuel on a daily or two-day basis. They're spending a lot on fuel. They also are logging thousands of miles on a weekly basis. Imagine being on the road, driving 12 hours a day and like logging thousands of miles. You still have to go and cash a paper check at the end of the week. And that's the pain that the drivers are taking. And frankly, when we started A2B, we were unaware of all these problems. I was initially skeptical about why does trucking have no digital payments? How come the modern payments companies have not yet entered this space? And so just to build our own insight and knowledge into the industry, so we spent a lot of time going to truck stops all over California. So we are based out of San Francisco Bay Area. We went to truck stops all over Interstate 5, where a lot of trucking happens on the West Coast. And so we spent time at truck stops where truck drivers are resting and technically spend 10 to 12 hours a day. And we asked them all sorts of questions like where are they coming from, what education they have, why did they get into trucking, and also what are the most painful things for them in their job. And none of them complained about how hard trucking is. In fact, trucking, if you think about it, you're driving in a big rig for 10 to 12 hours a day and have to go through multiple complexities, bad weather scenarios, bad road scenarios, could be unpredictable traffic patterns. And still, none of them were complaining about that. The only thing we saw them complaining is that they're driving and working so hard, yet they have to wait for a few days to a week to get their weekly paychecks in the mail. And they have to, in the meanwhile, take payday loans to basically get paid, because fortunately, most truckers don't have a lot of savings and not getting paid to their bank account. So this conundrum was surprising to us, that a critical industry like trucking does not have a modern payroll and a payment solution. And so we started asking the business owners, the small business owners who employ these truck drivers, why are they not using payroll providers? And then we got to know that the entire industry runs on different standards, both for wages, taxation. They don't use the same standards as other industries. So we saw a common theme where financial tools were clearly lacking, whether it's for the truck drivers or for the small business owners. And mind you, 95% of the trucking industry in the US is small businesses. So it's not controlled by like a oligopoly of like a couple of corporations, like how airlines or hotels are. So it's mostly decentralized or distributed across all 50 states. In fact, most trucking is not even in big cities. It is mostly present in rural USA and especially in agrarian and manufacturing states like the Midwest or Texas or other states in the South. So it was a very, very much an awakening moment for us that we have taken so many things for granted. So we take getting paid on time for granted. We take credit cards working for granted. We take things like having access to working capital for granted. And these are all, to some extent, have been solved in the mainstream industries. But trucking, given its size, is still unsolved. And so that's when we thought, okay, this is something that we can dedicate for the next 10, 20 plus years and just continue to solve step by step all these use cases within financial services in trucking. So we closely work with small businesses for that reason.
Yeah. I love, you touched on, I think, three key things for vertical SaaS. You didn't say them explicitly, but I think they're worth teeing up because I love these conversations because the best leaders, I feel like, always go back to basics. One, if you're thinking about a vertical specific product, you really have to do the customer discovery. That was the time you all spent at the truck stops talking to small business owners over and over. Two is that, hey, when you really dig in here, especially when you start to layer on the different financial pieces, like let's get the investor speak, the TAM of these opportunities can be much larger than it seems in particular. But more than that, and three, what I love and what's coming through so clearly is, hey, you're dealing with a lot of small businesses that oftentimes they don't have the scale, they don't have the resources of the big players. But what you're doing with a modern technology interface is giving them the superpower that has always traditionally been reserved for the big guys. So again, don't let me put words in your mouth, but I feel like those are three just core lessons around vertical SaaS companies and vertical SaaS opportunities that you have lived day in and day out since you started A2B.
I think though part of my inspiration in building A2B comes from how Amazon and other lasting companies were built, which was focus on the customer, focus on the basics. And in our case, go back to the shareholder letters that Jeff Bezos wrote back in the day, which was Amazon worked on two fundamentals when they were scaling their business. One was cost. They just wanted to make sure every part of the business was efficient and was helping drive lower cost for the end customer. Because no matter what is a new thing or a trendy thing this decade, cost will always be the thing that customers care about. And like lower cost is something they continue to expect. So Amazon has focused a lot on organizational efficiency of their operations and how they choose their suppliers. So outside of cost, they also cared about speed. So you may remember 10, 20 years ago, Amazon was having a weekly delivery system. And from weekly delivery, they built infrastructure and warehouses to make it two-day delivery and eventually same-day delivery system. And part of that investment process was this fundamental belief that customers care about speed. And the faster we do deliver, the more reward the customer will give us. And so hence started like a 20 plus year process of Amazon constantly reducing cost while also constantly speeding up their service. And in many ways, that's the fundamentals we are building A2B on. So we are constantly helping our customers reduce cost, whether it is fuel cost for running their trucks or the working capital cost for financing their business. And we are also constantly improving on speed. So we have introduced 24/7 funding systems. We have introduced 24/7 payment models. So truck drivers today in our system get paid 24/7 and the money instantly reaches their bank account. And we had built this system because you're a truck driver driving for they say 12 hours a day and sometimes 7 days a week, you should not be going back to your waiting for your paycheck and to your postal address and like trying to encash a physical check. You should like just get it to your bank account. And this is a system, for example, that Uber or DoorDash and other such companies have built for gig workers. But trucking is such a major profession, and unfortunately, it's not the standard yet. So we are making it the standard. We are making sure that the hardworking unsung heroes of the industry get paid fastest and not have to wait, take a payday loan again. And so fundamentally, that's been our approach to both cost and speed, which is to continue to improve every month, every year on introducing better tools for the same basics.
Maybe one quick follow-up there in a certain way too. One, in retrospect, it was clear you said, hey, we started with fuel cards because that's the biggest cost. Was as you moved multi-product, was payroll second because it was the second biggest cost? And then as you think about some of the working capital piece getting paid by suppliers, like you worked down the list that way? Or maybe the question is, how did you decide what your product strategy and where you were going to add new features and functionality? And two, are there any generalizable lessons you've taken that you would pass on to other vertical SaaS companies about going multi-product?
So we have basically spent a lot of time before we started building the product to just talk to our users and understand their day-to-day life better. So all our founding team members and early team members were engineers or were technical by training. And we know that building product was one of our strengths, but it should not be the first thing we should do. I think we spent a lot more time on figuring out what our customers really care about. So probably from a long list of 10 or 12 ideas on what to build, we went to customers, tried to show them mockups, ideas, alternatives. We oftentimes ask them, before even building the fuel card, we ask them, why don't you just sign up with American Express or Capital One or some small business credit card and just get started with having credit card product. Then we realized that trucking has a different payment model where the billing systems don't operate on the open loop, the traditional credit cards that you and I use. So it's not as simple as going to a gas station and buying a tank of fuel for $50 or so. Most trucking companies have long-term billing processes and they have a very different taxation model. So they cannot use Amex or Capital One. So that's when we realized that we should like first really educate ourselves and break our own assumptions about what works and what doesn't work for this industry before throwing a product at our customers' face. So in some sense, it was like a constant iterative process to figure out what is the real killer use case first. And through that process, we shortlisted to, let's say, three ideas. And from those three ideas, we figured that fuel card is the single most important one our customers care about, which we can also build with our resources and experience. So we started on that model. And once we had built and got some critical distribution, we went back to the drawing board and asked, what is the second most important thing our customers care about? And it was payments, and particularly driver payments followed by invoice payments. So instead of looking at how the industry operates today, we tried to test our own assumptions, which is in any business payments, you basically have to validate a sender and the recipient and enable the fastest possible payment method. And so we took inspiration partly from e-commerce industry and how online payments are made. For example, Stripe pays small businesses on Shopify, and the way they do that is through a 24/7 payment model. So we effectively saw that as one of the models of what we can build for a physical industry like trucking. And although all the lessons that online commerce has cannot be translated directly to trucking because trucking has its own method of record keeping. So they have their own bills and invoice standards, and they have this net 30 payment term. So even if we want to, the industry may not be open to it. So what we decided to do is go to the key transportation freight industry intermediaries. So these are brokerages and factoring companies. And what we try to understand from them is, can we build a faster payment system with them, through them, for the small businesses? So that ended up being the better route, because instead of forcing a small business trucking company to adopt, what we said is, we went to the source of their revenue and told them, hey, this is a faster and cheaper way to pay. Why not just use this 24/7? It works during bank holidays or during Christmas Eve. So it runs as if email is working. So we made it instant in 24/7. So that was like a key light bulb moment for them, where they realized that they don't have to wait for the ACH to clear or a paper check to clear for them to pay their trucking customers. You can actually run it instant funding model. And that really helped both sides, because on one side, it reduced their paperwork and the cost of doing business. On the other side, it reduced the working capital for the trucking businesses. Before this, trucking companies were getting paid 30 to 45 days later. So this was 30 to 45 days after they delivered the load. And so for the next 30 to 45 days, they were taking that expensive working capital I was talking about. So from moving from a 30-day model to a same-day model has greatly reduced their working capital. So those are like the common sense models we have been pushing. The go-to-market is very much dependent on the use case. So in case of a fuel card, we are directly getting these customers to sign up with us. We are also working with some of these partners. With payments, particularly, we are going directly with the partner model, where we closely work with some of the largest freight brokers, factoring companies, and banks in trucking. And that's how our product strategy has evolved.
And for the listeners, I hope folks go back and listen to that again, because there was a wealth of detail buried in there. And a couple of things that I heard very clearly. One, listen to your customers again, over and over, square one. Two, interestingly, like, it seems like you all were able to articulate a very clear and, in this case, really exponential value at the critical pain point, at the critical point of the customer's workflow. And that became the core around which you ended up building or call it the control point. And then three, I'm actually hearing a really interesting one around choose your analogs, but choose them wisely. You had a lot of lessons you were able to pull from e-commerce, but it was not 100%. You could not just copy it and paste it onto trucking. There was still a lot of thought that went into the adaptation. Vignan, we're going to have to let you go very soon, but I want to close with just a couple of questions. Briefly, you all are facing, or trucking is facing, an interesting technology shift, in this case, from gas-powered to electric vehicles. So briefly, what do you feel like this means to A to B, and how are you approaching this groundswell of a shift for the industry?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of electric vehicles in general, Brad. So I've been following the industry for over 10 plus years, even before Model S was released by Tesla, like almost 10, 12 years ago. And I've studied the space, I've worked in the space through Cruise, which produces both electric and autonomous vehicles. And I think one thing I want to share here is that the trend is inevitable. So it's just a question of time about who will adopt fastest. So today, within the transportation industry, consumers have adopted electric vehicles first, and commercial vehicles will eventually happen. So within commercial fleets, most likely the local fleets that are doing last mile delivery, or like local businesses that are using these small vehicles, are the first to likely get adopt these electric vehicles this decade or next decade. And when it comes to long haul trucking, it'll probably be the last of the industries to adopt, but it's inevitable, because electric is a lot more energy efficient and cleaner as a fuel source. And as a company, we are agnostic to the source of energy. We are practically a payments company that's enabling modern payments and financial tools for businesses. So our industry is trucking, but at the core, what we are doing is effectively enabling economic activity. So whether you're paying for fuel or paying for payroll or paying for any other B2B invoices, ultimately the financial infrastructure layer should be strong, reliable, and so fast. And so I think that's the reason why we welcome any change and any modernization in the industry. So we don't have a vested interest in one source of fuel versus the other. In fact, today our customers use us for not just gas or diesel, but they also use us for electric vehicle fleets. They use us for alternative fuels like renewable fuels and hydrogen and biofuels. So, and because we are built on an open loop network and we work with every gas station and charging station in the US, we don't have to reconfigure any of our systems for a new form of fuel. And I feel that's the right approach also for the industry, because working capital is definitely very expensive in trucking. If I have to predict, I would see local fleets, especially e-commerce last mile delivery fleets, electrifying fast. Amazon has already started doing that, and followed by the long haul trucking fleets that are on the highways. And every which form of fuel requires payments, because electricity is not free. So it's biofuels or renewable fuels. So the economic activity needs a strong plumbing, so to speak. And that's the layer which we are most interested in modernizing. I see this as a long-term enabler for our growth, because the legacy players in the space are not technology companies, so they don't adapt to new changes like these. And also, we will do what's best for our customers, whether it's reducing cost or growing their margins.
Indeed. That point about doing what's best for the customer is Gusto's co-founder and CEO is fond of saying, hey, if you solve pain for the customer, the business will take care of itself. And I think it's clear that A to B, with the product you've built, you're solving key pains. Growth, expansion have clearly followed. And so thank you for taking the time to share some of these learnings and insights with us, Vignan. Maybe before we let you go, I imagine you get asked all the time for advice from other startup founders or vertical SaaS leaders. What is one piece of advice or one lesson you feel like we didn't cover today, but for anybody who's trying to do something analogous to what you've done with A to B, what's one key lesson they should keep in mind as they embark on that journey?
Oh, there are so many, but I think more than advice, I think what worked for me particularly is just constantly learning from great founders in history. I encourage folks and recommend books often, and you can learn so much from founders of industries of the 19th century, like the Vanderbilts or the Rockefellers, who have effectively built the infrastructure layer of that era, and to the most recent ones, including in the 20th century, from founders of Visa and others who have effectively built the financial infrastructure we are all using today. And I think there's a common trend and common theme of like how founders approach these problems and the common challenges they face with the standards of that era. And what you realize is even they were all students of their own industry. They have spent enormous amount of personal time learning and understanding their industries well, and also trying to learn from other companies in their space. Pick your choice of Henry Ford, Edison, or others like them. They've all spent a lot of time learning from comparable but parallel separate industries like the steel industry, the railroad industry, and others. So I think there's a great wealth of knowledge out there, and practically for no cost, except for the cost of the book, I would say, and your time mostly. And I think that's one thing I have done and enjoy doing, is just like learning from founders of this past.
The dividends of learning, incredible. Vignan, thank you again. Really appreciate the time today. Before we wrap up, if folks want to connect and reach out to you to go deeper on anything we discussed, what's the best route to reach out to you?
I'm fairly active on email, but it's my first name, vignan@a2b.com. It's A-T-O-B, A-2B.com. Yeah.
Vignan, thanks again. I appreciate you appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you, Brian. It was a pleasure.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the SMB Tech Innovators Podcast. We'll make sure to link to any resources that were mentioned in today's show in the show notes. Please also feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, or to connect with the Gusto Embedded team via LinkedIn. In particular, we'd love to hear any future guests you'd like us to have on the show. Thanks again for listening, and keep a lookout for the next episode.